So again, today is Mother's Day, and it is a tough day. I cannot tell you how much I have appreciated my wife and her wisdom and her winsomeness over the years. She's made me actually a better person. And I would say this, oftentimes the Holy Spirit's voice sounds an awful lot like Janie's voice. So sometimes what we do in the church is that we put an awful lot of pressure on the moms out there. We live in a society now where moms can have it all. And sometimes we'll even use scripture to back that up. And sometimes we look at Proverbs 31 through the lens of what your mom should look like or what your wife should look like. And it's oftentimes, it's an awful lot of pressure. It's an awful lot of pressure to put on somebody, especially considering a couple of things. A couple of things that we need to keep in mind when we think about Proverbs 31 is Proverbs is being written by Solomon. Now, who was Solomon's dad? David. Now, who was Solomon's mom? Bathsheba. Now, how did Bathsheba and David get together? Because Bathsheba used to be married to another dude, and that did not end well for Uriah. So we have to keep in mind that as we're reading these words, that Bathsheba has probably learned an awful lot through her life. And this passage that we're going to start with today, it actually kind of has some echoes of maybe some futility in it. As I read these, I'm going to break them out a little bit here and there. But it starts off with a wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him food or good, not harm, all the days of her life. And I think through this, that this is Solomon writing this, that these are the words that his mom had told him. And I think to myself, she's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her. And so one of the things that if we were to pull principles out of this for everybody, this number one principle here is simply this: men, marry well. Marry well. Don't settle. Don't sit back and go, man, she's way out of my league. Probably because she is. And if she is, that's a great place to be. Because if she says yes to you, oh man, she will make you a better person. I guarantee you that. So let's continue through this. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. And in her hands, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. Now, let's be honest here. Who spins their own wool anymore? Anybody? Anybody? So when you look at this, you know, if we're going to truly be saying that, okay, moms, this is what you ought to be doing, get you a distaff and a spindle so that you can start making your own cloth. But I don't think that's what we're actually looking at here. I think a good principle here is an excellent wife will be a hard worker. There's a second one to this, and I'll cover that in just a second, but it's going to look different for each woman. Some women out there, based off of their finances, they're going to have to work. Some, because of their finances, they don't have to. And so when we think that a woman has to stay at home to be a good mom, I challenge that. I think my wife was a great mom. We were able to have her stay at home for the first 5 or 6 years of our kids' lives, but then she went to work, and she did a fantastic job. And I just think that when we sit there and we overlay what we think ought to happen versus what does happen, if you come to a church, sometimes you get those knowing glances, the sidelong looks when somebody says, well, I work. Good. Be a hard worker. Work hard at whatever it is that you do. And this, by the way, goes for you too, guys. You don't get to just sit back in your Barca lounge or drinking your Pabst Blue Ribbon or whatever. You have to work too. And sometimes you have to help out around the house. Sometimes you actually have to pick up the vacuum cleaner and vacuum things. And by the way, don't just vacuum a little spot and go, see what I did? Just vacuum it and shut up. I mean that with all sanctified grace. Then part two of that verse is, those verses is, an excellent wife will exercise wisdom with her finances. And this actually goes for both ways on this. She isn't going to be out there spending money like a drunken sailor. She's actually going to be smart about it. And if you're smart, like I kind of consider myself a smart guy. I don't do our finances. If I did our finances, I would have the top of the line road bikes, cycling bikes out there, and we would be broke. We would have declared bankruptcy. So I don't trust myself with our finances. I allow Janie to run our finances because she's good at it. Verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. This one is simply this: she is generous. She is generous. We ought to be generous too. Men, we ought to be generous. Just because this is pointing to women as being excellent wives, we ought to be generous. I think of Matthew 25, and it says here, then he will also say, this is Jesus, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and the angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? And he says this, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So essentially, be generous. Be generous with your stuff. Be generous with your time. Be generous with your words. Because there are going to be people out there that need that. It's not just the people from within our Huntington Family Church. It really isn't. There are people on the other side who need us, who need those encouraging words, who need to hear from you, who need to hear from Jesus. By the way, your Jesus' representative needs to hear from you. Verse 21, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes a seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. This one is simple. She cares for her family. She cares for her family. Now, guys, this also applies to you. Care for your family. But an excellent woman will take care of her family, not out of obligation, but because she wants to, out of desire and love. And when her family is taken care of, her heart beats a little stronger. When her family is taken care of, her spirit sings a little bit louder. And then, verse 26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. And this one, she speaks carefully, not carelessly. See, guys, listen, a careless word, like Janie said earlier, is like trying to squeeze toothpaste back into the tube. It's impossible to do, and it makes a huge mess. And so when you're not careful with your words, they wound deep. If you're not careful with your words, they can have lasting consequences in people's lives. And I've been amazed over the years at my wife's careful use of words. I've been amazed that there are times that if I had to answer when she's asked the question or is interacting with somebody, I had a really, really good retort. But it wasn't careful. It wasn't winsome. Verse 27 through the end. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Number 7, speak graciously of your wife or your mom. I am absolutely, I'm going to use a British term, and I think in Britain it's a swear word, so we might have to bleep this, but I'm gobsmacked when I hear people make fun of their spouse. I don't understand that. Many years ago, Janie and I made an agreement that we would not use each other as a punchline with other people. Now, don't get me wrong. If we're sitting down and we're playing a game, we are merciless with the mocking of each other. But we do not use each other as a punchline. And men, when I hear you talk about your wife as the old ball and chain, or that old lady, those are not terms of endearment, unless they are, and I have a hard time believing that they are. They don't sound endearing. A little part of me dies inside. There's a couple reasons. I mean, listen, guys, if you are complaining about your wife, I got a little thing I like to say to you. You picked her. You asked her to marry you. And ain't nobody forced you to it. So you went, there was something about your wife that drew you to her, and you asked her. You asked her to marry you. And so, were you just blinded by something that wasn't there? Do you just have really poor judgment? I don't know what it is, but there was something there that caused you to ask her to marry you. Lean into that. Remember that. Go back to the love of your youth. And women, when I hear you talk ill about your husband, and as a pastor, I'm amazed at what people say to me. I'll be honest with you. You come into my office sometimes and you say, I can't believe he did this, or I can't believe she did that. And I'm like, I can't believe you guys are saying that. But I sit and I go, as a pastor, I ask the woman the question, why'd you say yes in the first place? Were these issues not manifest then? You did say yes. Maybe you ought to make the best of this. Let's work through this. And so, couples out there, I'm going to say this in all seriousness. In all seriousness, if you are experiencing marital troubles, do not wait until the Titanic hits the iceberg to fix it. Come see me sooner rather than later. With that being said, can I give you moms out there a word of encouragement? You're doing better than you think. I know it's easy in this Instagram, Facebook, Twitter sphere out there to sit there and measure yourself against what you see, even on TV. If you're of a certain age, you know, you might think that you're not measuring up like June Cleaver would have, because you can't bake bread from scratch. You're doing better than you think. You see, I think about this when I was growing up. I remember watching TV. I remember when the TV, on a football game, they would pan over the bench, and when the camera would rest on the star athlete, he didn't flash the peace sign and a big toothy grin and say, "Hi, Dad." It was always, "Hi, Mom." And oftentimes when sailors would go off to war, off to sea, when they would get a tattoo, they wouldn't get a tattoo of Dad on their forearm. It would be Mom. Moms, you're doing better than you think. You may feel like you're failing your kids because you can't buy them the Nintendo Switch. Who cares? That's not what it's about. Not about how many toys are in their drawer. It's about how many memories that they remember. Number two, you're discipling your kiddos. I'm reminded of this fact when Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1. I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm sure that it is in you as well. Moms, you are discipling the next generation already. Remember, there's more that is caught than is taught to your kids. You can give them all the right words. Like Janie was saying, you tell them why they ought to eat their green beans. But if you're not eating your green beans, they're not going to eat their green beans. And when I was over in Turkey, me and a buddy of mine, we got to teach karate to kiddos. And the form that we were teaching them, you know, you put your hand out like this and the thumb was supposed to be down. And we kept looking at these kids and all their thumbs are up. So we'd reset, we'd start over, remind them, keep your thumb down. And then we'd do it again and their thumbs are up. And I was like, I looked over at Luke and Luke looked over at me and both of our thumbs are up. I'm always reminded of that. I wasn't a parent at the time, but that just keeps rattling around in my head that my kids are watching. They are observing. They are sponges. Moms, when you spend time praying for your kiddos as they drift off to sleep, they remember that. When you sacrifice your hair coloring, because they make your hair turn gray, but you sacrifice the coloring of that so that they could go with. When you roll out of bed in the middle of the night to care for a sick tummy, they remember that. When you put a frame around the artwork that they put on the wall, rather than scold them, you've taught them grace. Moms, you are discipling them. And we need to remember that moms need to be honored as representatives of God. There's a lady named Emily Pastor who wrote, and tell me why my calling matters. I'm going to read this to you. It's extensive, so kick back, put your bunny slippers up. I stood in line with my very pregnant belly as the checker asked if this was my first baby. Surprise filled her face when I replied, no, it's my third. As I finished swiping my debit card, she commented, you just look so young. Yes, I guess I am. In our culture, 27 is young to have three children already. And in many ways, I stepped into that role of motherhood blind as the first of my friends to have babies. This June, I will have three children 4 years old and under. I can't imagine that, by the way. Suffice it to say, I am tired all of the time. This stage of motherhood with small children is very physically and emotionally demanding. I love my family and my work as a mom, but that doesn't mean the work isn't hard or taxing. Often my most basic needs must take a back seat as I care for my children. For every day that I fall in bed satisfied with a day full of snuggles and sparkly magical parenthood moments, there's another day in which I see my brokenness and failures to measure up to the perfect mother I always hope I'd be. And guys, by the way, this is where we enter into the picture. When our spouses are struggling with that, that's where we need to be the encouragement. We need to be their strength. And a good litmus test, if you have a wife who's a stay-at-home mom, walk in the front door, and if the house is a wreck, you have a pretty good barometer of what the day was like for her. Probably a storm came through. Continuing on. We moms don't get performance reviews. There's no boss standing by giving objective encouragement and constructive criticism. It's so easy to lose perspective, and I think that I am the only one barely surviving some days of this wonderfully exhausting role called motherhood. On Mother's Day, I don't need a standing ovation, but I do need affirmation and support. I need to hear that my role as a mom to young children is hard, valuable kingdom work. Remind me that my unseen sacrifices and struggles are seen and valued by the Lord. I often feel undervalued, misunderstood, and looked over by a culture that applauds outward and visible contributions to society. So much of my work as a mother is hidden away in the unseen moments of grace with my children. As I bend over my tremendously pregnant body to pick up the 1,000th crayon, I receive no applause. When I respond patiently toward a tantrum-throwing toddler, no one says, way to keep your cool. I sacrifice and struggle because of love, and loving others is kingdom work. I also need to hear that my work as a mom is valued by the church. Remind me that I don't need to be involved in a million ministry commitments when I have my hands full nurturing several souls. Encourage me to give the small, the ordinary, and the mundane things to God and watch Him bless and multiply my efforts. Thank me for sowing the seeds of love in the souls of the youngest among us. Finally, I need support. After having my first child, I felt the desperate need for a mentor. I needed someone who had walked the path of motherhood before me to give me perspective and nurture my soul. I am blessed with a godly mother of my own I could go to for advice and support, but I know that every young mother doesn't have that. She continues on. On Mother's Day, I would love to see a group of older women standing in the front of the service who are available and willing to take a younger mom under their wing. In my mind, a mentor is not someone who has all the answers or is a spiritual giant, but someone who is willing to listen and love. Because really, all a tired mom needs to keep going is a listening ear, a good cry, and maybe some banana bread. I find that that last little bit amazing. It doesn't take much to impact somebody, does it? And as we think through this as a church, as we think through this as the church, there's also the single moms out there who would crave things like that, who need things like that. And we as a church body, we have the ability to bless in that. Today, we give you praise, we acknowledge your sacrifice, we recognize that your work is of God. You have a calling from Him who represents Him as one who oversees the affairs of the household and who teaches her children the word and principles of God. But we can't forget this. He's training you, He's shaping you, and He's encouraging you. He has forgiven you when you're not at your best. God understands your moments of frustration. He gets your, I can't take this anymore tears. He's there in the what am I supposed to do now moments. Kingdom work comes with its shares of struggles and heartache. And although stepping on a Lego may not be part of the glorious kingdom work, The love you show by not choking your child for not picking up his Legos is. God's in the business of using imperfect mothers. Let's pray. Jesus, we are reminded that you too had a mom. And I wonder how much of a challenge it was to raise somebody like you. I'm reminded of when Mary and Joseph went to the temple. And in those moments, as they traveled back home, they couldn't find you. And where were you? You were doing the work of your Father in heaven. But that challenging moment, the fear-filled moments of you being gone. I know many a parent out there has experienced those moments. What a challenge that would have been. We're thankful for the example of your mom, Mary. But we're also thankful for the many moms that we find in the Bible. We are also thankful for our own moms. We give a hearty thank you, Mom. Even to the ones that are challenging for us to love, we thank you for your gift of life. And we love you with Jesus' love. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.